plan, but yeah, you could, if you have a setback of the house far enough from the road, you can minimize the impact from that side.
But you haven't looked at whether, I mean, you could reduce it to say one. Nine, eight, ten, then you're in a good
position. We have not looked at how many houses you would have to delete from the plan to save all the trees along the frontage.
Okay. Or to save some of the trees.
Correct, or to save some of the trees.
Okay, well, I mean, but that's my tree question, and thank you for that answer. Does staff know a little bit more about the one-mile loop, or is that just through private property that people have been walking through, or is that also public property? And you know, the people were testifying how there's this one-mile loop that everybody...
Yes, I am not familiar with that.
You don't know? No. You don't know where it is?
Perhaps one of the citizens could point it out to us.
Do you all know what it is?
What we think they're talking about is a road, the roads that loop around the development down Marlowe and back around.
Oh, I see.
And
that
wouldn't
public.
Change. It's just, I don't think that would change.
It's just how it looks would change, but the actual existence of the
walk. Right, what you see along the walk might be a little different, but you'd still have to walk. Yeah.
Stormwater management. Do we have a letter from stormwater people, I'm sorry.
One of the condition 14 is compliance with the conditions of approval.
So there must be a letter. Well, were there any extra requirements required by permitting services because of the concerns about flooding?
We took extraordinary measures, including the extension of storm drain along the backs of the lots along those common property lines in order to intercept as much of stormwater as absolutely possible coming from this development on there. So it will improve drainage characteristics of it for those properties that are having problems now.
Okay, let me look and see. I think we've discussed setbacks. The community is asking for 60 to 70, and you're what, between 40 and 50?
Right, we're providing an appropriate transition, 50 for those.
Just on the same side as Marlowe, right?
Yes,
yeah.
50 for those two closest to Musgrove, transitioning down to 40, a little further to the south. Then you have the existing homes just to the south of the subject property that are, we suspect, right at the minimum 30-foot setback. So we have that appropriate transition of, you know, 50 to 40 to the existing 30-foot mm-hmm. setbacks. The code minimum is 30, and we obviously exceed the established building line.
Thank you.
I have one question. One of the issues, and you talked about this, was that for the house on the other side of Penny Lane, that there may be visual impacts, and that you expressed a willingness to work with that landowner to do buffering. I assume that would mean that you would put in landscaping.
That was our thinking.
Though presumably on their property.
On their property.
Because otherwise it can't put it in the road.
Right, exactly.
So the offer that I heard from you is if they wanted it,
yes.
that you were willing to, at your expense, put in appropriate landscape buffers.
That's correct.
There. Obviously, since it's on that landowner's property, it has to be with their permission and concurrence. Is there a condition in here that, that goes to that? I wonder if we might.
No, we did not include a condition of approval for this particular plan for the applicant to provide buffering on an adjacent property. That would strictly be voluntarily. We did not make that a condition of approval.
Well, I've heard it as a proffer, and I don't have the precise language.
Yeah, we could accept that as a condition, that we would make reasonable efforts to work with the neighbor to come up with some landscaping that would address their concern.
Well,
screening.
I think that's a great idea, but I do have a question. Have you met with those neighbors at all?
My client has met. Mr. Arias met with the DeJames family prior to the last.
That hearing. Was the ones that was were impacted by the other location.
That were impacted by the other location. It really wasn't brought to our attention.
Oh, wait, no. But then, did you meet with the next family?
No. The Nee family have not met with. We actually weren't aware that they had a particular concern until Tuesday evening when we saw a copy of the letter. But we had already told staff and had already discussed with staff that we would be willing to work with whatever neighbor was impacted. So we had indicated that we would be willing to.
Have you contacted the neighbors and shown them your revised plan?
Actually, yes, and that was one of the things I meant to bring up before. While we weren't required to send a copy of the plan, Mr. Sekeric did send a courtesy copy of the plan to all of the neighbors who were joining, I believe, across the way anyhow, after we had gone through and got review in the DRC and so forth. So we did send a courtesy copy out by certified mail, actually. We have copies of that.
There was a plan,
as we knew what we were doing.
And the project team had developed.
So when was that?
The date of the letter, well, let's see, in terms of...
It's the date they received it on the 14th,
But to make it clear, if I may...
The 12th.
12th, 7th, 14th, in terms of dates of...
There's a date of receipt.
Of what month and year?
This month.
Now tell me again.
October 12th, could you tell us a date that has all the components that are traditionally included in a date?
For those who...
Month, date, year?
Let's see. For those that have come back as received 10-14-04, 10-12-04, no date on this one or that one. 10-7-04, 10-7-04, 10-7-04, 10-12, 10-10-04,
no date. 10-7-04,
no date.
They were sent out.
Mailed the letters.
Probably about then, yeah.
And you have the return receipts.
Yes.
Yes, and again, that was immediately after the staff and the applicant team had come to an agreement on what plan we would be presenting to the board.
But to make it clear, I did not meet with them. We mailed it out. After the last hearing, I decided... It just wasn't. It was better to come here. I'd love to sit down and address it, but I don't know what to do on that part.
Okay, I just wanted to understand the communications.
Okay, are there other questions from the board or other discussion?
Well, this is just a clarification on the recommendation before I make a motion. Staff is in agreement with number 13 being omitted.
Yes.
And number 19 would then become the buffering on the Lee property proffered by the applicant. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
And there was also a suggestion of a change in condition 11, that it would say west side instead of east side. Is that?
Yes, we agree.
Okay, west side.
May I just ask staff a question before you make your motion?
Okay.
And that is, I'd like to understand your point of view on asking the DPWT for waivers to protect the trees. This is the one issue that concerns me, because by losing the tree buffer, that's what completely changes the character of the street. If the trees were still there, or some of them, I understand rarely can you save them all, then the houses that were behind them would be buffered by that, and it would still appear fairly similar. You'd still have the impact of the cars coming out, but so was that discussed? Because you're imposing also, DPWT is opposing the structure, what is it, the gutter, that is inconsistent with the rest of the street.
If I recall correctly, there was some discussion regarding saving the trees along Marlowe, but because the sidewalks were required on Marlowe, that would not be possible. So the sidewalks with the tree panel to include replanting of new trees would compensate for the loss of the older trees.
But and do you have to put in the sidewalk? I don't mean to interrupt, but...
Again, it is a requirement for improvements along Marlowe Road. At some point in time, there probably will be sidewalks. From what I understand, there's sort of a break in sidewalks now because that side of Marlowe isn't fully developed. But at some point in time, I do understand that there's a plan to have sidewalks all along Marlowe Road from Musgrove to further south. So if the sidewalks aren't there now, at some point in time, there will be. And I do understand what you're saying.
Because there's always a plan to put sidewalks everywhere and connect it all up, but there's some situations where realistically that's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, we already know there's another house in that what we thought was an empty lot. Mm-hmm. And he testified, and he's just moved in and built it. So I guess he didn't have to put a sidewalk in there. So I just question the trade-offs that were made in creating, you know, just looking at it from the point of view of creating a typical suburban development without relating it to the entire area.
How quickly will it take the trees to grow back? What kind of trees are you going to plant in the sidewalk panels?
Trying to recall, I don't believe there's any specific master plan recommendations for this area in terms of tree species. There's a wide variety of trees that we could select. Black walnut is not on the DPWT approved list. It wouldn't be an appropriate, because of its fruiting pattern, wouldn't be an appropriate tree to put back the same type of tree. But, you know, we'd be happy to... You know,
how tall are the trees?
They are, in terms of height, I don't recall or didn't take any measurements to that effect.
While you're looking, may I build on a question that Mr. Robinson asked so that might bring a little perspective to the other question. When you go down Marlowe Road and look at the existing residences and the trees that front on Marlowe Road, what kind of trees are they, and how high are they, and how many generally are they? Meaning, do you have the same kind of coverage on the eastern side of Marlowe Road as what exists on the undeveloped lot? And I'm familiar with Musgrove Road in this neighborhood, and also associated with that question is the fact that many of the properties in that general area experience water because of the topography of the land. And my understanding is that any development that takes place in that area, there's going to probably be a requirement to sort of manage or mitigate to the extent possible water runoff that benefits not only the property that's being developed, but supposedly the properties of the existing neighborhood also. But go ahead and answer the question about the trees, please.
Okay. Let's see. First off, generally 12-inch to 24-inch black walnuts along that.
That's what exists?
Yes.
How many of them?
Yeah, clustered primarily towards the Musgrove Road.
On the east side, there's also black walnuts.
Meaning on the existing properties, residential properties, do you have black walnuts?
Certainly not a canopy of
no.
Trees like this.
Okay.
It is not a...
a contiguous canopy of trees.
Yes, exactly. And even on our side of the street, there's a number of gaps.
Yes.
So where is the clustering? Can you point at the map where the...
I'm sure on here, maybe.
Okay.
So the Walnuts are at the northern half of the Marlow Road frontage.
So did you consider trying to place the lots so that you could preserve some of those trees?
Again, the trees being within the public right-of-way and without DPW&T's support for not putting in what they would feel to be necessary drainage improvements. No, we didn't do a lotting pattern for trees that we had no support for preserving from that regulatory agency.
Well, you prepared to plant fairly, for example, you can get an oak tree that'll grow. It's not a pin oak. It's a standard oak tree. It'll grow rather rapidly. It'll be 20 feet high in about 4 years. You know, it'll be about that thick. So are you prepared to plant a large caliber oak tree or a similar tree to replace the canopy in a rapid period of time?
Off the top of my head, the type of tree that has the fastest rate of growth that I can think of that's on the DPW&T approved list would be a red maple. It's known for a very large canopy, and it's fast growing and is appropriate street tree. Oaks generally are slower growing. We'd be happy to put those in also, but within the species of oak, there are different varying rates of growth.
Yes, what I'm suggesting is that you give us a proffer that you'll plant a large caliber, fast growing tree. You want to have a little tree like this. You start with a fairly large tree so that it'll be bigger fast.
Yes, to the extent that DPW&T will approve, we will put in as large calipers as practical.
Thank you. Are there any more questions, Madam Chair?
I think a motion is in order.
All right, Madam Chair, I'd like to move approval of this preliminary plan based on modifications to condition 11 reflecting the west side, the elimination of condition 13, and making a revised 19 being a buffering on the Lee property to the appropriate language, working with the property owners to buffer on their property, et cetera.
By 19, you mean adding a new condition?
Yeah, replacing 19 because 19 is now 18, et cetera. So a new 19 would be the buffering on the Lee property.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second if the commissioner will accept a friendly amendment on the proffer of planting the large caliber trees in the tree panel. I believe that was proffered by the applicant.
Oh, that's fine.
Then I'll second the motion. In support of the motion, I will note that this is an R90 proper zone property, not an R200 property. Therefore, it's appropriate the lots be smaller and provide a transition between the R200 property to the east and the TDR property to the west. And that's why I'm supporting the motion.
We have a motion and a second. Just to clarify, it's R200, isn't it?
It's R200 to the east. It's R90.
It's R90.
It's R90 that's being developed. The property to be developed is R90.
Right. I just wanted to clarify what you said.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion?
I'll just briefly say I'm not going to support the motion because of the failure to have a proper tree save. And I think it should have been pursued both on the part of staff and the applicant, and more thoroughly the potential for a waiver and more sensitivity to saving the trees to preserve the filling of the neighborhood and would enhance your development, too.
Just for points of clarification, because you said that it didn't have a tree save, and that might sound like there was a requirement. And all you... There is no requirement. You're not speaking to the fact
meant that they didn't seek a waiver.
Gotcha. Okay.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye.
I'm sorry, Derek, are you voting on this? Okay. Yes. And I vote aye. All opposed?
Mm-hmm.
So that's 4-1.
Thank you.
And thank you to the Vice Chair for standing in for me there. We'll go to item 8. Preliminary plan review of the Porter property in Fairland.
Good
afternoon. My name is Dolores Kinney, for the record, and I am with the Development Review Division. This is preliminary plan number 1-05025, and it's entitled Porter Property. The property is located on the southeast side of Riding Stable Road, approximately 244 feet northeast of Riding Ridge Court. This is a subdivision to create one single family unit or one single family lot, and the property is zoned RE1 and contains 2.14 acres. Staff recommends approval of the application. Thank you.
Anyone here for number nine, the Porter property? Are you the applicant?
Yes.
Come on up. Take a seat. Whoever is speaking for the applicant, just please state your name and tell us whether you agree with the staff recommendation, including their conditions.
Yes, my name is Greg Benefiel with Surveys, Inc., and I agree with staff recommendations.
And you represent the applicant?
Yes.
Okay. Are you the applicants?
Yes.
Why don't you put your names on the record so we know you're here.
My name is Sunil Porter.
I'm Trina Porter.
Okay, great. Welcome. There are no public speakers, so you done with your staff report? Yeah, you were. I thought you were. Okay.
Move
discussion.
Second.
Motion to approve, second by Commissioner Robinson. All in favor, please say aye.
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 That's unanimous, and the preliminary plan is approved.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Number 10 and number 11. A preliminary plan review and a site plan review for the Crescent on Wayne Avenue.
Mr. Chairman, before this item actually gets underway, I'd like to make the following disclosure concerning this property. I do not have any financial interest in it. However, I think I need to disclose that I have an appointment to meet with a sales representative. I look at real estate at a variety of places. I have made no commitment and no decision, but I feel it's important to disclose that on the record.
The record will so reflect.
And I have to acknowledge that I'm going to follow her.
Sell out today.
I wish I could follow it, but unfortunately, my wife wants to stay where we are and move to Bethesda. So,
goodness gracious!
We are on the record, Mr. Robinson.
I realize that's why I said it.
I thought you were going to say Calathea.
I don't think I want to go there in terms of the type of animals that reside in Calathea.
All right, we're ready to receive the staff report.
Good afternoon. For the record, Robert Kronenberg with Site Plan Review, and with me is Rich Weaver for the Plan of Subdivision. The site plan is 8-05004, and the amendment to the originally approved subdivision plan is 1-89288A. And just a quick note, the amendment to the preliminary plan is for a change in use from hotel to the condo, and for a change in the square footage of commercial retail that was originally proposed, as well as the amendment of a public use easement running across the front of the property, because this is in the CBD. With that, I'll start with the project. I would like to, you saw this back in April, the end of April, for project plan. It got approved on April 29th. I would like to point out that nothing has changed as far as the elements of that project plan. What has changed is this has definitely gotten better. We have much more detail with the site plan in terms of the elements that are within the within the project itself, the plaza, much more detail. So I'll be quick with this. I think everyone is familiar with where the site is. It's located on Wayne Avenue at in between Fenton and George Avenue, directly across from the recently completed parking garage on Wayne and kind of catty-corner to the hotel that's actually going up right now. The site is CB2, and it is adjacent to the Moose Lodge on the northeast side. And that area, I just want to point out, is within the Fenton Village Overlay Zone, and as well as the property directly behind this. The property is, again, is CBD2, and just go through, for the record, some of the elements that are on the site plan. It is going through the optional method of development, and it's proposing 5 FAR on the site, approximately 151,000 square feet of development, including 143 condo units and 1,741 square feet of retail. In addition, the applicant is proposing 140 parking spaces on the site, and 12.5% of the total number of units will be MPDUs, and those will be located on the site as well. And just briefly, I'll go into the public use space and the elements and amenities on the plan.
Again, the site, we have the building that's located, situated back about 50 feet from the right-of-way and approximately about 70 feet from the curb edge. We have the parking entrance into the building from Wayne Avenue, as well as a very subtle loading area. And we have, and I'll show you on the rendered plan, we worked hard with DPWT, DPS, the applicant, to make sure that this is one continuous paving pattern. We wanted to make sure that plaza area was continuous and that it was represented that way. We have the streetscape that will be directly in front of the project on Wayne Avenue, and I think the site, the rendered drawing kind of shows you the extension of the streetscape all the way down to the alley, which is parallels George Avenue. We have a number of businesses, the RIT, Washington Real Estate Investment Building. It's about, I think, 8 stories, maybe right here at the edge of the alley, as well as a number of small retail shops, commercial retail shops that abut the site and RIT. The applicant, as you can tell by some of the letters that were sent out and signed as well, they did coordinate with those property owners to make sure that the property, which is about, it's about 5 feet of area that is not within the Wayne Avenue right-of-way, is completed, that we do get that paving. And many of them have agreed to it, and I know the applicant is continuing negotiations with them to make sure that we can make sure that that is a continuous streetscape, and that's very important. We did have a concern by RIT for the placement of the 2 trees. Originally, the plan showed 3 trees in front of their property. They came to us and the applicant and said, we are undergoing renovations for our building. We want to work with you on the streetscape. We did. They were happy with what was proposed here. We did meet with them on site to look at the exact locations, and this site plan represents that. Again, I'd like to point out the public use space on the site. Directly in front of the property here is the on-site public use space, and they are proposing 24%, required is 20% on the site, and off-site, which includes the Wayne Avenue right-of-way improvements all the way down to the alley, is close to 24% for a total of just under 48% public use space, which is phenomenal here, and we just appreciate the applicant for working with us on that. The art, the public art, was presented to you at the project plan. They're committed to doing the same art, the same artist. And then we have a number of other amenities, landscaping and lighting, that really work within that public space and extend back down here on the east side of the building for a private walkway patio for the amenity for the users of the building. With that, I do have one change to the conditions with which the applicant has agreed to. Condition number 10, we strike building and insert use and occupancy permit, and the applicant has agreed to that, and staff is amenable to that as well. With that, staff recommends approval of the site plan, and thank you.
We'll hear from applicant.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Perdue and members of the board. I'm Steve Kaufman with Lynn Eisenblocker. We represent the applicant. With me is Leif Wayne, who's a principal in 930 Wayne. And their development company is the Patriot Group, and Kevin Foster is with our engineer. And behind me is Sandy Silverman, our architect. Candidly, we don't really have any issues. We're in complete agreement with the conditions. We appreciate the one change that was made at 10. We do have here a lot of exhibits if you want to see them. This project does have 18 MPDUs, which will all be built on site, and 1,741 square feet of retail, which faces Wayne Avenue. We can show you the floor plans and whatever. I think you're pretty familiar with this. But other than that, I would just say if you have any questions, we'll answer them. And thank you for the opportunity.
I don't have a question. I have a statement. We beat up on folks when they don't do, so we need to acknowledge when you do. I'm acknowledging a letter from Elizabeth B. Davidson, which spells out that 100% of your MPDU units will be on site. And Mr. Robinson will be interested in this, and it even gives the price the units will be sold based upon the square footage. And I may not be going with her anyway. I can't afford the MPDU. No, but seriously, that's
well, thank you.
We appreciate that.
That's kind of you.
That's very true. It's very important.
Well, we are very proud of this project. We think it really will set a tone for Wayne Avenue right across from the new town center in Silver Spring. And I'll let Leif speak to this, but I understand that the sales have gone terrifically. Why don't you give them a little bit of background?
We opened a sales office at the intersection of Thayer and Georgia about 2 weeks ago, and the sales have been strong for the project. And I also think the interest in the project is very high. People are looking for a transition from what was a more acquired or suburban community to one that's being urbanized, and they're looking also for high-rise building, probably because I think the perception kind of a perception of luxury coupled with the fact of the views and things like that. People were definitely buying on views and exposure and things like that. So it's been interesting to see the evolution in the market to kind of an urban-style product, albeit with the public amenities and things like that.
I'm assuming that this does not or has not interfered with the lofts in terms of their sales.
930, I mean, to Newell Street?
Yeah.
That's already totally sold.
That's completely sold out?
By the these are reservations, by the way, because we can't actually sell things until we go through the full process. So.
Okay.
Any other questions or comments?
I gather the one-story retail complex to your west is being renovated, and you're cooperating with the owners on that. I was looking at the letters in the.
We understand that they are doing that. They haven't really shared with us their plans at this point, but we don't anticipate any problem in working with them. We have contacted the owners on both the west and east for necessary easements for construction and tiebacks, and I'm sure they'll need the same from us. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Moose Lodge, I think, is on the east side.
Right. It is.
All right.
Motion would be in order.
Madam Chair, I move approval of the staff recommendation as modified.
Do we have two motions?
Yes, I think we do. First, a preliminary plan.
Yeah, first preliminary plan.
Second.
So we have a motion and second on the preliminary plan. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And so move for the preliminary, for the site plan.
Second.
As modified. That's what's really been modified.
Right.
Okay. Okay. So and I second that.
Motion and second on the site plan. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you. Just one last. I do want to commend your staff who did an excellent job on this with us and helped us with the outreach as well.
Thank you.
Number 12, preliminary plan of re-subdivision in Chevy Chase at the terminus are on the east side of Oak Ridge Avenue. People here for this item, so if anyone's unfamiliar with our procedures, we will first get a report from the staff with their recommendations. We will then hear from the applicant for the preliminary plan. We will then hear from anyone who signed up to speak. I have six speakers so far. After that, the applicant gets to come back and respond to any of the testimony that was given, and then the board votes. So let's go to the staff report.
Thank you. For the record, Richard Weaver with Development Review, Item 12, Preliminary Plan 104032 for Chevy Chase. You will note that this is a re-subdivision. You do have a staff report. This is located on the west side of Oak Ridge Drive, this being Ridgewood, this being Maple. The property is located in the R60 zone. It is currently 0.66 acres in size. There are two existing lots associated with this. One is a part of a lot, and the other is a lot. There is a house on each of those lots. The request before you is to come in and re-subdivide this into three lots. The existing residential structures would remain on the site. It would recreate one lot of 9,600 square feet, 8,700 square feet, and 10,700 square feet. The proposed lots have been identified and reviewed as far as their compliance with Chapter 59, the zoning ordinance, and certainly staff has found that they do meet the zoning ordinance requirements for lot dimensions. But we also review this as part of 5029B2, a re-subdivision. You will, if you've read the staff report, the staff report is fairly straightforward for a re-subdivision. We do have three lots, which staff has identified as having a high correlation for all seven of the re-subdivision criteria, and we have made a finding that there is a they are similar in character with the existing lots in the neighborhood. Many of the lots, some of them drop below 60 feet of frontage, some are right at 60 feet of frontage, and wider lots tend to be to the north, and the narrower lots tend to be to the south. The neighborhood delineation in the staff report generally looks at the lots within the existing block. It also goes up Curtis Road to the west, and it takes into account all the confronting whole lots on the opposite side of Oak Ridge Avenue. Staff does feel that that's we have provided a neighborhood that is a fair representation of the character of the overall neighborhood, and have compared the proposed lots to those lots in the defined neighborhood. Again, staff is recommending approval of this application based on its finding that it meets all seven of the re-subdivision criteria in 5029B2. Your staff report has a number of letters in the that have come in the file, some in support and some in opposition to this proposal. We will most likely have some speakers to share their concerns about this re-subdivision. The re-subdivision originally came in about a year and a half ago under with a different layout, slightly different layout. The applicant for the original subdivision more or less did not like what he heard at the Development Review Committee, in that the proposal did not meet 5029B2. A new applicant has come in this summer, picked the application up, made some minor adjustments to the lot layout, negotiated with an adjacent property owner to remove a portion of a garage to meet setbacks. That plan that came in this summer was noticed to adjacent confronting property owners, and it was a notice to the local civic associations in town of Chevy Chase. And this plan was originally scheduled for the planning board on October 7th. We received a number of letters at the time claiming and phone calls and that people had difficulty getting access to the files. You will recall that we had a team building day staff function on a Wednesday, and some of the citizens noted that access to the files was difficult, if not impossible, for that day. So we pulled the plan from the planning board's agenda. We also received some comments that people had not received copies of the revised plans. Based upon that, I had asked the applicant's engineer to please make sure that everyone on the adjacent properties owners lists did get a copy of the revised plans, and I do understand as of late September those were hand-delivered to the adjacent confronting property owners. A number of other letters in the file claim that they are have not had a chance to look at the revised plans. So anyone who had been a party of interest with this application, in other words, had a letter in the file, while staff does not usually do this, I put a copy of the new notice for the today's hearing with a copy of the latest revised plan and sent that out to anyone who had expressed an interest in this application. So we do feel, as far as the process goes, that staff has done the required noticing and getting the plans out and getting this, keeping the file open to the public access. So with that, we also have some other concerns. I'll briefly go through them. We do have concerns about the drainage. If the board will note, there is a broad swale that runs through the rear of these properties along the rear property lines. We do have an approved stormwater concept from Department of Permitting Services, and I believe we do have a staff member from – we do not have a staff member here from as of yet to address that from Montgomery County. TreeSave has also been raised as a significant interest to the members of the neighborhood. Certainly, TreeSave is an interest to staff. We have a detailed TreeSave plan associated with this, and Mr. Federline is here from Environmental Planning to address those concerns. And you will also hear concerns about mansionization, but I will let the board deal with that. The again, the lots created here do meet the R60 zoning standards, and they will have the appropriate setbacks for the R60 zone. And again, the conditions of approval do suggest that this does meet 5029B2, and that with those conditions, staff is supporting this application. I'll end my presentation there.
Okay, thank you. Applicant?
Good afternoon. My name is Mike Watkins. I'm with McCreese, Hendricks, and Glasscock. With me today is Jim Glasscock, principal of the firm McCreese, Hendricks, and Glasscock. And to my left is Louis Bloom, the applicant with Bloom Builders. We just wanted to reiterate the fact that, as Rich brought up in his memorandum, this is the second time that we've brought this application through the process. There have been a number of changes to the plan that we wanted to highlight and have been highlighted. Like Rich pointed out, there have been discussions with the adjacent property owners to accommodate the re-subdivision criteria, specifically the minimum lot width for the zone. Other changes to the plan included revising the loss of trees to utilize natural topography of the land such that the building height would not exceed what's required, and that modifications to stormwater have been changed such that our new impervious area is directly connected to the existing storm and drain system in the area. We do agree with staff report. The resubdivision criteria all meet the high correlation requirement. We've done, I think we've done a good job with the tree save areas and have addressed the stormwater issues that we can accommodate on site. A little bit of history. On September the 8th, the town of Chevy Chase did hold a public meeting, and Louis Bloom can expand upon the actions that the town council took.
Yes, I was at that meeting, and everything went fine with the town.
There were no problems addressed at that time. And then when things got postponed, obviously, then more neighbors showed up at that point, and I imagine they'll address you today. But everything, we met all the criteria. One thing I want you all to know about myself is I am a builder in Chevy Chase pretty exclusively, and I am not the type of builder that tears down houses and just builds huge houses. I am the builder in the town that keeps the old house and expands upon it. So this obviously would be a new lot for me, and I don't expect to, go out to every limit that I possibly can. That's why we reduced this plan down to a 40 by 40 footprint. We're not doing any retaining walls. We're taking care of our stormwater management. And I like conserving trees and everything like that. So I hope everything will be favorable as far as me being the builder also.
I did receive a phone call from Ridge that the item was going to be pulled due to noticing requirements. We did send out notices via the mail. We did not elect to send out certified copies. I took it upon myself to hand deliver on the 30th copies to all the directly affected adjacent owners. I had conversations with some of them, included people working in the yard. I had a lively discussion about the presidential debate, so it was definitely a conveyance of the current plan to all the adjacent property owners. And with that, just would like to reiterate that we do agree with staff's report and are happy to answer any questions.
All right, well, we'll save questions for later. So you gentlemen are excused. And the first speaker is William Hudnut, representing the town of Chevy Chase. Informed that you're also the former mayor of Indianapolis. We're pleased by your promotion.
So am I.
Excuse me, a very senior consultant to the Urban Land Institute on matters of smart growth and the like, so we may be talking to you in another venue.
Very good. We'd be glad to talk with you. I had a nice conversation with Jeff Zients about that and talking with the staff about a recent book I wrote on inner ring suburbs. And but my name is Bill Hudnut, and I am at present the volunteer mayor of the town of Chevy Chase, and I want to bring to you two concerns, sir, and members of the board. The first concern has to do with the expressions of concern that were represented to us at our meeting on October 13th. The second concern has to do with the process of notification and due process. First of all, on September 8th, as Mr. Bloom told you, we did, as a courtesy to him, because we were not clear on what the plans were. The original notice came without plans on August 16th. Then we received some revised plans, but there was no indication of a hearing or of residents' input. But we invited Mr. Bloom to come in at our meeting on September 8th to share his ideas with us. At that time, we assumed that we had no standing to take a stand either for or against the project, so we had no opinion. That does not mean that if we, in due process, had a public hearing, that we would not vote on it. We might vote on it, we might not. We would have to decide that. But we haven't had a chance to go through our requirements for due notice for a hearing, nor have the residents all, and they will testify to this, received what they consider to be proper notice. But anyway, then we continued this until October 21st, so we announced publicly that on October 13th, the citizens would be given an opportunity for input on this issue, and many of them turned out. The proponents of the plan, there were two or three there, Mr. Bloom and a couple of others, but they read into the record some 12 to 14 letters of support from members of the Chevy Chase community, not all of whom were confronting and abutting residents, but nonetheless were residents of the town of Chevy Chase. There were probably 15, maybe 18 residents there, some of whom spoke, some of whom did not speak, who were opposed to this resubdivision proposal. They brought up issues which Rich Weaver, to a certain extent, has addressed relative to such things as the loss of open space, the adequacy of the plans, the adequacy of the plan's proposed stormwater management, which they were very concerned about. We had a flood in that swale this summer, and they're concerned about more drainage going down into that, and the loss of trees and existing stormwater runoff issues in the area of the property, and the reasonableness of the proposed plan and the benefits and detriments of the plan to the town, the noise pollution, the adequacy and timeliness of the notification of the revised plans and public hearing, and so forth and so on. The main objection that they seem to be making had to do with the ecology and the environment and the environmental impact on the swale and on the abutting and confronting owners. And I am not here to say that the town council either opposes or supports the plan, because we do not have an official position on it. I'm here to relay to you what we have heard from the residents. The second issue that I want to address, and I think this is a serious issue, sir, has to do with the whole question of the timeliness and the adequacy for the notification that we received. There was a lot of confusion about who was responsible for notifying whom. It was stated that the engineering firm hand-delivered letters to confronting and abutting residents. That really isn't true. Many of them are here, and they did not receive it. Some were misdelivered to people who lived a little bit farther away. The town was very concerned about the adequacy of the notice that it received. The Regional District Act provides 45 days for us to have a hearing and all the rest of it. We don't think that we had that kind of time. And so we wrote you after our meeting on October 13th requesting another continuance, which would give us the opportunity to go through this decently and in order, which we don't think that we have had. If you decide today on this matter, it would be my sincere hope and request that the Planning Board establish a conversation with the town, and that Rich come over and talk with us about procedural issues related to resubdivision requests, because we're not at all clear on where the responsibility is lodged for notifying the town and the confronting and abutting residents in a resubdivision request. And we'd like to get that spelled out. We don't think that there is an adequate procedure written out for that right now, and we'd like to reduce to writing some of our concerns with regard to that. So those are the concerns that I have, that we establish specific procedures for Planning Board notification of the town, and that you listen very carefully to the concerns that are going to be expressed by many of our residents with regard to environmental issues, stormwater runoff, drainage, the impact on the neighboring houses, and so forth. Chevy Chase, as you know, is a rather compactly developed town already, and there are questions about the amount of construction and reconstruction and rebuilding that's going on. And I'd be glad to yield the rest of my time to those who are here to address these issues. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you very much for coming, and let me first of all assure you that we are very interested in knowing what our municipalities think about particular applications, and if there's any confusion about the notice situation, I certainly agree that our staff should meet with you in the near future, so for future reference we can have clarity. We're very interested in hearing what municipalities have to say. We also, of course, as a regulatory body, have an obligation to move applications through expeditiously in fairness to everybody who's involved, and so sometimes the municipal time limits come into conflict with what we have to do or what we think we should do. But certainly I think a dialogue is a terrific idea, and we will listen carefully to what people have to say today. Any other questions for the mayor? I don't see any. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next, from this point I'm going to take speakers in groups of three, since we have three chairs. So the next three speakers will be Jane Lawton, Mary Pat Kurig, and David Perkins. Okay. Mr. Perkins, are you testifying together with Norbert Halloran? Was that the idea?
Norbert Halloran has conceded his time.
He's ceded his time. Okay, fine. And that works.
And I believe I have conceded time, too.
You have, you do. And you have 9 minutes.
You know that I'm such a talker, right? Okay.
All I know is I'm supposed.
You got it. I got 9. That's a little too much. Anyway, okay. I'm Jane Lawton, and I reside at 4202 Maple Terrace, Chevy Chase, on lot 24, which is the only cul-de-sac lot which is not included in the neighborhood delineation, which I'm holding up for you. However, my lot was recorded as a part of the subdivision in 1924 and abuts 5 other lots in the subdivision. The rear of my house faces the subject properties and is about 8 feet off of the corner property line. The record should reflect that I've never received any notice about the re-subdivision, but as you can see, I'm well within sight and sound and am significantly affected by it. You may recall also that I was previously the chair of the town of Chevy Chase, and in 1991, I chaired a task force, a state task force, that looked and made recommendations for revisions to the Regional District Act. I only say that so that you'll know that I am well aware of the town's plan. I'm well aware of its pattern of development and of its relationship to the planning board. I want to call your attention here and not go into it to my last paragraph, which urges you to honor the request of the town council of the town of Chevy Chase that they be allowed extra time to have a public hearing. The proposed re-subdivision alters the character of the existing houses and Oak Ridge Avenue. I urge you to deny the proposed re-subdivision because the carving out of this additional lot at this location will greatly alter the character of the street, the subdivision, and ultimately, as this takedown of houses and speculative re-subdivision continues, our entire town. This proposed re-subdivision simply doesn't work, and it sets a dangerous precedent that subdivision plans will set the design, which set the design for older neighborhoods in the Regional District Act, won't be honored, and the result will change the character of downcounty municipalities. These are not oversized lots. They are not lots that were unsubdivided parcels. These lots were subdivided in a way that allowed each lot to harmonize with the 2 subdivisions which meet on this property, Lot 1 to Section 8 and Lot 42 to Section 4. The carving out of a new lot and the complete redrawing of the 2 existing lots breaks that harmony. And in deferring to the smaller lots to the south and demolishing parts of both properties as they now exist, it reduces open space, creates a crowding of the houses that is not part of the subdivision plans for either Section 8 or Section 4, as recorded and retained for 90 years. The 2 subject properties' common lot line is actually the dividing line between Section 4 and Section 8 of the town, and both were originally recorded in the 1920s. Both sections have remained unchanged. You'll note that Section 8, the upper ones, have wider frontages. Section 4 below have the narrower ones. The new plan will require demolition of parts of both of the existing properties, reducing the lot size and sizes, all of them, and fronts, reducing stormwater protection, taking out trees, and creating lot and house overcrowding. How did the plan come about? The owner purchased his house and noted that the neighbor's garage slightly crossed the lot line between them and had been doing that for 90 years. He confronted the neighbor and offered him $350,000 for a small triangle of the front part of his lot so that he could carve 2 lots out of his lot. But it really wasn't as easy as that. The new plan attempts to carve out a 60-foot lot by redrawing all the side lot lines. But in so doing, it's necessary to demolish, move, and rebuild the garage on the Clark's house on the left, take out the driveway, redesignate the right side of the house